Lesson 13 on the Spirit-filled life, and it's on page 107 in your workbook, right there at the end. And so we've spent the last quarter looking at the different aspects of the Holy Spirit and how to avail and to how we can avail ourselves of that power and of the Spirit. And this one kind of puts it all together, I think. It just wraps it all up and kind of gives us some hopefully practical things on how to do some of that and what we can do to live a Spirit-filled life. You know, and when I go through, and you probably can't see too much, but when I prepare for the lesson, you know, I go through and highlight some of the key phrases that kind of jump out to me to make sure I want to express. And I got to tell you, when I went through that, I almost highlighted every line. So hopefully I'll have enough time to get through this. It was just all such good stuff, in my opinion, on, okay, here's how we can do it. And so really good. The text for the day is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And if you're able, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we'll take a look at that. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these lessons on the Holy Spirit and how we can just use the power of that if we would just turn much of our lives over to Him. So, Lord, I pray today you'd help us to just really learn and know the disciplines of the Spirit-filled life. Lord, that we might surrender more and more of our lives to the Holy Spirit, as that is our reasonable service. So, Lord, just help us to purpose to make a daily decision to obey the commands given us about a Spirit-filled life. Bless our time. Help me to get out of the way and let your word and Spirit speak through this lesson, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. All right. So the Spirit-filled life, the overview is there in your workbook, says the Spirit-filled life is a life of three basic but powerful daily disciplines. Daily disciplines. Yielding to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit. This is the Spirit-filled life, and it is the only path to all the fullness of the Spirit that we have studied in these lessons. And the lesson aim is that in this lesson we discover how to fully immerse ourselves in a daily, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led lifestyle. These simple principles are the how-to of Spirit-filled living. Living a Spirit-filled life is about learning how to practice His presence moment by moment. It's a daily discipline and a daily choice not to neglect Him. We want to look closer at that. And if you're reading along, you notice a lot of dailies in there. Man, it's kind of like, I think He's trying to get our attention, that this is something we need to think about and do daily. And we're going to talk about that a lot as we go through the lesson. You know, by our human nature, we have an innate desire to control our own lives, don't we? We kind of want to be in control. We want to be at the steering wheel. It goes against our fleshly nature to have someone or something controlling our lives. In fact, you know, there's a lot been made about not letting things control our lives, and obviously some things we shouldn't let control. But I think, you know, and our flesh wants to react to all control and not let anything do that. You know, we want to stay in control. There's a 2010 article, so 9 years old, and it gets even more relative today, but in PC World, that's the personal computer, how computer hackers can control the computerized systems of a car from a remote location. You know, and we've seen that in movies nowadays and stuff too, you know, where somebody gets in and controls the car. Well, now, of course, we even have self-driving cars, totally artificial intelligence that, you know, are driving people around. And it's kind of scary to think that somebody can hack in there and turn up the heat and lock the doors or roll up your windows, you know. So that kind of control, is, you know, we probably have a reason to maybe be careful with or rebel against. And so it's just something unnatural about a computer in our car controlling how it behaves. Amen. I think, you know, us older people are going to have some trouble with that for sure. You know, I've heard Josh already say he can't wait till he can just sit back and let the car drive it. I don't quite react that way, you know, it's coming, and whether we want it to or not. But the one we do want to control our lives would be the Holy Spirit. You know, we can trust our lives to turn over to Him. Allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives is one of the best decisions we can make. And we do have to overcome some of our fleshly reactions to do that. When D.L. Moody was just starting in the ministry, he heard a preacher make this statement, quote, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to Him," unquote. Moody that night said, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." It is said that Moody shook two continents for God, and over a million souls came to Christ under his preaching and ministry. So he really did take that message to heart of turning his life over to God. Will we have the heart that D.L. Moody had? Will we give the Holy Spirit absolute prominence in our lives? It's a good question that we need to ponder and to reflect on. The Holy Spirit deserves full and absolute control. He is God in you. He indwells us at salvation, and He deserves to have that control. We belong to Him. We are His vessel and His ambassador. It is reasonable Christianity that we would surrender complete control of our daily lives to His power. There again, our text. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know, do you think about the word reasonable? I mean, it's just reasonable to turn our lives over to God, you know. And yet it's so hard to do, and we tend to react against that. But, you know, He created us. He knows everything about us. And if you kind of think about it, it's just reasonable. And we need to try to get that, I think, into our just concepts of what we think about. Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world." You know, obviously, the world is going wacko. And, you know, so we all don't want to be conformed to the world. But how can we combat that? Well, by letting God have us. It says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So He wants what's best for us, and He will help us achieve that as we grow in Him. The Holy Spirit will bring transformation and power into your life that you could otherwise never know. He will lead you into a life abundant and full, a life beyond our capacity or power. And we cannot do it alone, that we can go beyond our own capacity with His help. There in your book, John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Wow. You know, and again, it's easy to see that out in the world and what the things trying to get control of us and get us to do and all the crazy things. And none of it's good, you know, that the world has for us. You know, they're stealing, they're killing, they're destroying, you know, the family and the schools. And you name almost anything that's been turned over to the world, and it's going downhill. Amen. And the things we see getting built up are things of the Lord. This abundant life, known by so few Christians, is the product of the Holy Spirit. In this lesson, we will discover how to have this abundant life that Jesus promised. We'll discover how to fully immerse ourselves in a daily, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led lifestyle. After studying this far, I pray you're eager to experience all that God desires to do in you by His Spirit. These simple principles are the how-to of Spirit-filled living. Living a Spirit-filled life is about learning how to practice His presence moment by moment. It is a daily discipline and a daily choice not to neglect Him. There's a quote there in your book from Charles Spurgeon. The greatest crime of sinners is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. The greatest fault of saints is to neglect the Holy Ghost. And, you know, and that's what we find all too easy to do, is neglect Him and you know, try to ignore Him, or maybe not even try. We just do ignore Him. We get too busy or whatever. After we finish this lesson, we'll be faced with a decision regarding the Holy Spirit. Will we neglect Him, or will we be filled with Him? Have these lessons merely provided us with a good head knowledge of some very profound possibilities? Or will the daily practices of our life change because of what we have read and heard? Knowing about the Holy Spirit is quite different from experiencing the Holy Spirit and to have Him work in our life. We could live beyond our capacity, but it's up to us to avail ourselves of the Spirit. It's up to us to surrender ourselves to Him and to choose to fellowship with Him continuously. Many are ignorant of Him. Most neglect Him. What will we do? Important question to meditate on this morning. What will we do? What will I do? The Bible gives us three commands regarding our response to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Roman numeral 1 is to be filled with the Spirit. It says to be filled with the Spirit. There in your book, the commands in Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Very clear that we should be filled. This is different than the indwelling. He dwells in us when we're there, but we need to have Him fill us. And, you know, that is up to us to let Him do that and to ask Him to do that. Being filled with the Spirit is the act of emptying myself of known sin and yielding myself completely to the Holy Spirit. It's not sensational. It does not provide a feeling or exhilarating experience. It's a decision of faith to yield complete control of myself to the Spirit. We sometimes see this in Scripture as dying to self. There's a couple verses there in your book on that, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In fact, you know, if you remember, and we've seen before, John 16:7 says He gave Himself. He went away so that He could send the Comforter to us. And that so Christ went away deliberately so the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would come and be with us. And then Romans 6:12-13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You see, the choice is ours. We can yield. We can yield to our sin, our flesh, or we can yield to the Holy Spirit and unto righteousness. Obviously, we're encouraged to yield to God. These passages teach us that we must constantly choose who to yield to. We live every day either in the service of the flesh or the control of the Spirit. Most Christians do not willfully choose to walk in the flesh, But they arrive there by default because they fail to deliberately yield to the Spirit. In other words, yeah, we don't necessarily go out and choose to sin and do stuff. But if we don't do it with something else, we don't ask the Spirit, we end up by default just kind of walking along doing it. It's a great example. I got props for you this morning. Okay, we got an empty glass here. Sorry. Can't bend it over. All right. So, who can... any ideas on how to get the air out of this glass? Can't pour it out. Can't suck it out. Even if I could create that vacuum, the glass would collapse, right? So, how do we get the air out of that? You know, just by default, it has air in it. Well, a great example of the Holy Spirit, we fill it with water. That glass now has no air in it. Amen? Pretty simple solution and easy to see that that's the good... Well, I'm going to cause Josh to fall down. Anyway, you know, by filling it with something else... By filling it with something good, we can get some better relief out of the whole situation. So, thank you, Jerry. Good man. So, just a good example of what we need to do is to let the Holy Spirit fill our lives and have that control. Many Christians think of being filled with the Spirit as a mystical or complicated process. In reality, it is simply a daily decision. Letter A, it's a matter of choice. A matter of choice. Being filled with the Spirit is a daily decision. Begin every day by consciously and verbally yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. Ask Him to fill you and control you throughout the day. Acknowledge His presence and Lordship in your life. Acknowledge that you need Him. And the book just recommends, open, you know, when you wake up and you're getting ready, just a quick prayer. You say, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, thank you for being my comforter and my guide. I yield my life to you today. Please take control and help me get through this day in a Spirit-filled manner. Quick, simple prayer. And that'll help. That'll help set the tone and our mood for the day. You know, and things will come along to rob it and change it, amen? I mean, I know a lot of times you wake up and you feel strong, you feel good, and then, boom, you know, somebody cuts you off in traffic or your boss gives you a hard time. And, you know, so many things will happen, but at least we get used to just communicating and our desire to have Him fill us and to be with us. Choosing to daily acknowledge and surrender to the Holy Spirit helps us to grow in developing the mind of Christ. There in your book, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We want to develop that mindset that Christ had and become more like Him. So we need to pray for that and ask Him to fill us with that. With every passing day that you consciously yield to the filling of the Holy Spirit, you are growing and maturing in Christ. You are being transformed into His image. Day by day, you may not feel like you are growing, but year by year, you'll be able to look back and see great transformation. And I know when I was growing up, probably remember your parents and you're growing, marking on the wall how tall you were, you know, on your birthday and, you know, my grandkids, I got a you know, big board on the wall, and you can kind of follow their progress over the 10, 11 years. And it's kind of fun. But if we did that every day, you know, you wouldn't see much, would you? Sometimes maybe not at all. Or at least it would kind of end up looking like a line going up. But when you stop and look back, you go, wow, you know, they made jumps in growth. And that's what we want to see in our growth with the Lord. You know, we have to do that daily. You know, just like they don't control how much they grow every day, but we can help the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, grow to become more like Him every day. And sometimes we make leaps, sometimes great improvements, but in general, it's a daily process that we need to pay attention to. Letter B, It's a decision of faith. A decision of faith. The filling of the Spirit is not a feeling. It is a faith decision. You ask for it. You yield. And then you accept by faith that it is done. The moment you yield to the Spirit and ask Him to fill you, accept by faith that He has done that. And He's answered our prayer, regardless of how you feel. Sometimes we just might not feel, I say the words, but I don't feel like it. Well, we got to accept that He wants to do that, and He will do that, and get over that, some of those personal feelings we might have. Luke 11:13, there in your book. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? In other words, He wants to give us the good stuff, just like we'd like to give our kids good stuff. Guaranteed, a day lived with the filling of the Holy Spirit is dramatically different from one lived without Him. You may not feel all that different throughout your day, but you will know by the day's end that the Holy Spirit guided your steps, filtered your thinking, directed your words, and ordered your life. That's what we want to be after, is that communication daily and our walk with Him. We'll look at that more later. Letter C, it's a repeated process. As we talk about daily and doing this, so it's a repeated process. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time event, but a moment-by-moment lifestyle. As we've already studied, the Holy Spirit of God can be quenched and grieved. We looked at that last week, that we can quench Him, we can shut it down, and that grieves Him. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Real simple command, don't quench Him, don't shut Him off. And in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He's with us, and we can grieve Him. And we talked about, because it's such a close relationship, who can grieve us more than somebody really close to us? And that's how close the Holy Spirit is to us, even closer than family members. He's inside us. And so we can grieve Him, just like we might grieve a family member or a co-worker or whoever. Being Spirit-filled requires moment-by-moment sensitivity. The moment I step out of His control, I should confess it and ask Him to fill me once again. Okay, I lost control there, I'm sorry, and fill me again. Start the process over. This is a repeated process of repentance, restoration, and forgiveness. When you sin against God and break your close fellowship with Him, He invites you to make things right. He wants us to make it right sooner than later, in fact, instantly. He invites you to make things right. He invites you to come back into fellowship to restore your heart to Him. In your book, Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a great prayer right there when we know we've fallen out of fellowship. Clean up my heart, God. Make it clean again and renew that right spirit. Help me to get back on the right track again. Living a Spirit-filled life requires a quick response to sin. Acknowledge to God when you have offended Him. Accept His forgiveness. Praise God, He wants to give it to us that quick. That's not where we have to carry guilt around and do all these things and, cut ourselves or whip ourselves or beat ourselves up. That's not what He wants. He just wants us to repent, acknowledge Him, and restore by confessing sin. And then re-enter the Spirit-filled life by faith and continue growing in God's grace. By His grace, we will keep growing. It will get easier and better and less frequent. We have to do that. The Spirit-filled life runs from sin and embraces holiness. Help us run from sin and embrace holiness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not getting more and more of the Spirit, but the Spirit getting more and more of me. I like that. Not us trying to get more of Him. We've got all of Him, but He needs more of me, or wants more of me. F.B. Meyer has a quote there in your book. Do not pray for more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity and is not in pieces. Every child of God has all of him, but does he have all of us? A good question. You know, we even use the phrase, you know, that, well, they fell to pieces. All right, you know, boy, I just fell to pieces. And it just kind of made me think, you know, that we tend to almost think that way. We got these little pieces that, you know, we got to get back together. But the Holy Spirit, we've got all of him. And we just need to turn those over to him. The filling of the Spirit is the constant pursuit of the Christian life, living in a perpetual state of total surrender and submission. Now, I wish it would that easy to do, but that's our goal. And that's when we're like to become more like Christ and do that and grow towards that. It's a daily discipline that chooses to include the Holy Spirit rather than neglect him. Betty Scott Stamm has a quote there in your book, "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to thee to be thine forever. Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt. Send me where thou wilt. Work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever." And then that little footnote there. She was a missionary to China. She was martyred with her husband by communist Chinese soldiers. So, and you do the math, she, at the age of 28, she martyred herself on the mission field. But that was like her final prayer, just whatever it takes, whatever I can do. Wow. That's a life totally given over to him. So Roman numeral 2, we walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Earlier, we talked about the daily decision to be filled with the Spirit. This filling will produce a daily walk, a lifestyle that is led by the Spirit. Letter A, that means it's a developed habit. A developed habit. That process needs to become a habit. Walking in the Spirit is the natural result of being filled with the Spirit. The word walk implies to march in step with, to fall into rank, or to conform to the virtue of. In the Bible, the word walk is often used to reference our daily lifestyle. And it denotes action. Amen? When you think of the word walk, you're moving. You're taking action. You're walking. Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Quite the prompt. You know, and that's something that if we're walking with the Spirit, we'll do that. And that's why we need to renew that all the time. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we have one, then do one. We have that, then do it. You know, sometimes we have it, but we don't do the do part. You know, and that's just so true in our lives. Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So again, you know, praise God, we don't have that condemnation, but you know, we need to walk after the Spirit. We need to do that. You know, and it goes back to so many of our lessons. You know, you serve one or the other. We talk about that, and we're doing that whether we consciously are picking it at the time or not. Walking in the Spirit boils down to your everyday choices. Think of it this way. When you begin your day by asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, he will. Your choice to yield control is a good choice. It's the right start. But as your day unfolds, you'll face a myriad of circumstances, emotions, thoughts, feelings, desires, decisions, and possibilities. Walking in the Spirit is the developed discipline of listening to and obeying him in the minutiae of our daily lives. You know, instead of just letting life go, we just need to get in the habit of seeking him with whatever is going on or whatever comes up. The Spirit is interested in what you think about, what you listen to, what you watch, what you read, what you say, how you act, and who you spend your time with. Wow. It's kind of, I was just reading a little article in 1984, you know, Big Brother watching. Well, we have the Holy Spirit watching. And, you know, I'd much rather have him spying on me than the government. Amen? But nevertheless, he's inside it, and he's interested in that. He's interested in how we're going to react and getting him involved in all that. In every possible situation, you must choose between the will of the flesh and the will of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is to listen to his prompting and obey it. On the other hand, walking in the flesh is to give in to your carnal impulses and desires. And it's easy to do if we shove down and neglect the Holy Spirit, which is letter B, a dangerous neglect. And this first paragraph was worth the whole lesson to me, and I don't know if it'll help you, but it sure spoke to me because I have a tendency to fall into this. It says, most Christians ignore and neglect the Spirit and walk in the flesh. Certainly have seen that. I'd agree with that. You know, many tend to ignore and walk in. But the part that really spoke to me is this. That is not to say that they do not love God, trust his word, or believe in his power. I tend to think, well, if they're not doing a very good job, if they're not walking with God, I start questioning, you know, do they really love God? Do they believe his word? And, you know, you get all these questions about people, or maybe even about yourself, you know. But that's not what it's saying. It is to say they don't cultivate discipline to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey him moment by moment. And to me, again, it just kind of clarified things. Okay, they're not that they don't love God. It's not that they're not saved or that I'm not. It's just that I'm neglecting him. I haven't made it a discipline to follow him and allow him to control my life like I should or like they should. And it's just, to me, it's just a lot kinder way to think of people that are disappointing me. But, you know, what they're doing is grieving the Holy Spirit. And they need to renew that and refresh that. God delights in the fact that you remember him, that you include him, call upon him, and obey him. Isn't that nice to know that we can delight God just by doing what he asks us to do and sometimes commands us to do? Hear his heart in Jeremiah 2:32 as he longs to be a part of your every moment. There in your book, Jeremiah 2:32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Wow. You know, some things we wouldn't forget about. You know, we don't forget to, put on our little ornaments or comb our hair or brush our teeth. Praise God. We don't forget that. But we can forget him and we neglect him. How many days have passed since you remembered to walk in the Spirit? Why not begin walking with him every day today? Begin today to walk with him every day. Turn your life over to him. In every choice you make, you either choose to hear and obey the Spirit or you choose a carnal life. You can downplay the little decisions of life and think it's really not that big a deal. But little decisions, when put together, make a life. A messed up life is just a whole bunch of bad decisions put together. I like that part too. Sometimes we see messed up lives, and it's usually a result of bad, not anything real big, but just bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Pretty soon, we're messed up. A blessed life is a whole bunch of good decisions put together, making the right choices at the right time and changing things at the right time and just taking those baby steps of good decisions. And all of a sudden, we have a blessed life. The Holy Spirit wants to lead and direct you into every good decision. But the choice to walk in the Spirit is yours. It's mine. We decide if I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit or not. I challenge you to develop a lifestyle of walking in the Spirit. There will be resistance from the flesh and the world, but the Holy Spirit will be there to help and guide you. The Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life is the very best possible life you could ever experience. That's when we'll be the happiest and have the most joy. D.L. Moody, another quote there in your book. A Christian who is not living in the power of the Spirit is living below his privileges. I like that. You know, he's given us the privilege of wanting to walk with us and guide us. And if we're not doing that, we're living below what we're entitled to. You know, being a Christian has entitled us to use him. You know, and it's kind of a mystery why I don't always do that, because it is such a privilege. So we need to think of that. God's communication with us is very similar to sound waves. We must be walking with the Holy Spirit in order to hear him. And when we're walking with the Spirit, his communications are clear. You know, you think, you know, you can get around the corner of his building and the sound waves don't get to you. And, you know, we can get out of the path of his communication with us, just like we can get out of the way of some sound waves. And it's just a good example of, but if we're walking with him and we've got him with us the whole time right there, then we can hear him and we develop that practice. It's easy to perceive what he is saying. If we move away from the pathway of his voice, we become unaware of the fact that he is communicating with us at all. Sometimes we lose track that he might be even trying to talk to us because we've gone so far around the corner. We need to get back and have him walking along with us. Because if we get out of that, we consequently will miss his message. He's trying to speak to us and we shut him off. We're going to miss what he wants to tell us. So we need to be open and realize he wants that communication. If you'll begin your day tomorrow by yielding to the Holy Spirit and asking him to fill you, and if you will intend to hear his prompting and obey, I promise you will hear him well throughout the day. You know, and I certainly have experienced that in my life. The closer I feel and the more in communication, the more it allows him to speak with me and guide me and do those type of things as you go. He wants to deal with us. But if we've hardened our heart or I'm in a mood or whatever it might be and I shut him down, you know, then I don't get that response from him. Not his fault. He's a very good communicator. He communicates well, but it takes two. We need to listen. Walk in the Spirit today and every day. Be intentional about it. 1 Corinthians 2:15 begins with five convicting words. They're in your book. But he that is spiritual. If we're spiritual, we're walking in the Spirit, and he will communicate with us. Let that person be you. Roman numeral 3, we need to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. This third command to pray in the Spirit should be the natural outflow of walking with the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit and walking with him, then it's quite natural to converse. The more I walk with him, the more normal it becomes to talk with him throughout the day. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we always wonder some about that. It says, pray without ceasing. Well, how do we do that? You know, I got things to do. I got work to thing. But it says pray without. But it's just having him with us. And I found in my life, even at work, sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know, and things will, you're just kind of in that constant communication with him to be able to do that. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have gone on great walks, you know, and it's nice to walk with yourself, but what happens if you walk with a friend? You usually end up talking, amen? I remember even in college, you know, one of my things with long car rides, you know, you get in a car with a friend to Seattle, and all of a sudden, you're communicating for, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours that it takes to get there. And you either get closer or you find out that maybe we're not such good friends. You know, you can have both results on that. But it's that closeness of where you can be communicating and sharing with somebody. I've often shared, you know, early in our marriage and work, and, you know, I'd come home and want to relax or whatever, that our hot tub saved my marriage, I always say, because we'd get in the hot tub, the TV was off, there's no newspaper, and we'd have to talk to each other. You know, and that's what Kathy always craved, was some, you know, just conversation. Well, that's such a good picture of the Holy Spirit, you know. To just be conversant. He wants to converse with us and talk. So we need to shut down all the extracurricular things that are trying to get our attention and walk with him. As we walk, we talk. As we grow closer. We experience a stronger relationship together once we're talking. Because letter A, it's a spiritual weapon. Praying is a spiritual weapon. One of the greatest spiritual exercises you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit is pray. You know, I'm sure a lot of you, you know, you just, all of a sudden you have a desire to pray for somebody. And you don't know why or where it came from, but you know, God puts somebody on your mind, you know, and it's good. Thanks God for doing that, for putting that, you know, get that conversation going and say a prayer for them. Who knows what sets it off other than the Holy Spirit just prompting us to maybe give a little intercessory prayer. It's more than a conversation. It's a building, growing, battling endeavor. It's a vital part of winning the spiritual warfare of the Christian life. We need to use prayer as a weapon and to build, gird each other up and our relationship with Him up. Jude 20 there in your book. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Wow. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And building up yourselves, that, you know, you talk about bodybuilders, we're building up strength. Well, that's what it's talking about. Build yourselves up, strengthen yourselves by praying in the Holy Spirit. The book of Jude was written to Christians under fire. It's written to challenge Christians to earnestly contend for the faith of Christ and to fight the daily spiritual battle of faithfulness. Toward the end of the book, we read this command, build up ourselves in faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Also, the Apostle Paul, writing of spiritual battle, pleaded with believers in Ephesus to pray in the Spirit. Or in your book, Ephesians 6, 18 through 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Just praying for the strength and the ability to share with others. Just after a lengthy passage about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, the Bible commands us to pray, quote, always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. We want to be in touch. We want to communicate with Him and pray in the Spirit. This ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit plays a significant role in winning the moment-by-moment struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. That's how we win those little battles, when those minutia of the day confronts us. E.M. Bounds has a quote there in your book. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. That's what we need to be, especially, men and women of prayer in the communication with the Holy Spirit. Letter B, it's a continual conversation. Continual conversation. We've already seen that the Holy Spirit is our partner in prayer, our intercessor. This command compels us once more to enter into ongoing and intimate communion with the Father by the Holy Spirit. It is more than a command. It's a compelling invitation that triggers the Spirit's ongoing work. He wants to trigger His work. Because of what Christ did on the cross, God invites us into moment-by-moment prayer and personal intercession with Him. Hebrews 4:16. There in your book. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow. When we need help, He's invited us to come right up to His throne, directly to Him, and get the help we need. Such a wonderful privilege, you know. And let's not neglect having that privilege. What an awesome thought. By the Spirit, God invites me to have an ongoing conversation and free-flowing intercession with Him all day, every day. The more you practice His presence in this way and come boldly before Him, the more victorious you will be in the daily struggle. If you're thinking, I'd love to experience this ongoing life of walking in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, but I forget, don't despair. Remember, the Christian life is a journey of growth and learning. This life of prayer is a learned discipline. It's a developed habit. I just think, you know, just imagining that growth chart on the wall, you know, and okay, maybe today I didn't grow so much. Maybe I even shrunk a little. But, you know, can I look back in a year and see that I've reached a higher mark? Have I continued to grow? That's what it's about. Start right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. Ask Him to teach you. Cry out to God and claim His help in developing these spiritual habits. Over time, you will. The day will eventually come when you will probably talk more to the Holy Spirit than you do to any other person in your life. Sometimes with my hearing, I feel like that now. You know, I can converse with Him. He can hear me. And, you know, what a wonderful privilege to have to talk to Him and be able to converse with Him. He's with us every moment, and you will remember and acknowledge Him constantly. That's our goal, to acknowledge and remember Him constantly. So in conclusion, in summary, the Spirit-filled life is one of three basic but powerful daily disciplines. Being filled with the Spirit is the deliberate choice to yield all of myself to His control. Walking in the Spirit is the moment-by-moment choice to hear and to obey His prompting. And third, praying in the Spirit is entering into spiritual warfare in partnership with the Holy Spirit through ongoing prayer. It's the act of faithfully going before my Heavenly Father to commune with Him personally and to seek His power and His protection. You can do that daily. This is the Christian life in a nutshell. Yield to the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit. Give God control every day, obey Him in the moments, and learn to speak to Him continually. This is the Spirit-filled life, and it's the only path to all the fullness of the Spirit that we have studied in these lessons. It's a wonderful, again, privilege that He's given us to do those things with Him. And I've got just enough time for one final. We got here this kind of a limp glove, amen? You think about it, that we can be in the flesh like this glove. Doesn't do much on its own. But what happens when we put God in and let God fill the Holy Spirit? Now, this glove can be useful, amen? Now it can do what it's designed to do, whether it's, you know, open things or handle things and protect things, you know. And that's the power of God in our lives if we just become the glove and let Him fill us, like our hand can fill this glove. Let's pray. Father God, we again thank You for Your word and just Your challenge, but also such wonderful promises and such wonderful privileges You've given us. Lord, I pray each one today would just avail themselves of Your power through the Holy Spirit, that we would just learn to walk with You and to just to help You guide us and help us to turn our lives over to You in a mighty way, Lord, that You would just help us yield to You, walk in You, and pray in You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, again for these lessons and for just the opportunity to look at more of what You have for us. What a wonderful blessing. We pray for this service to come. Just bear up Pastor Josh and help him again to break the word of life to us as we prepare our hearts to hear from You. And bring us back next week to learn even more about the fruits that You now have to give us through the Holy Spirit. Ask all these things and a blessing on each. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're dismissed.
Amen. Vainly they watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior.